Jesus is worthy. One more time. Lift your voice and sing it. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy. Yes. Worthy of all of the praise. Jesus is worthy. Worthy of all of the praise. Jesus is worthy. Worthy of all of the praise. Jesus is worthy.
Clap your hands to the Lord. Give him praise. He is worthy. Amen. Well, why don't you take your Bibles, remain standing a little bit longer, just a little bit longer. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, and then we're going to jump down to verse 9. I'm excited today. We got two baptisms. Brother Jeremy and Brother Johnson, the two J's. Going to be baptized in Jesus' name. So we encourage you to stay back after the service. We're going to open that wall at the back. Baptism tank is there. They're going to go down in the name of Jesus, the Bible says, for the remission of their sins. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, everybody say Naaman. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. So he was honorable because he was a soldier. He was a captain of the host, and he had helped deliver the Syrians. He was also a mighty man in valor. Let's say these next five words. But he was a leper. Great things, Naaman. Captain of the king of Syria, host of the king of Syria, a great man, honorable, brought deliverance, mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. But he was a leper. You see, he was a man, a warrior. And every day he'd get up, he'd put his armor on, put that armor on, but underneath the armor, there was leprosy. Other people couldn't see it. They could just see an honorable man, a soldier, somebody who had delivered Syria, a mighty man in valor. But every day when he had to get vulnerable and take off the armor, there was something under the armor. There was a stench even, leprosy smell. But he was a leper. You know, it doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. God knows. We can hide it from everybody. God knows the condition, and we also know our condition. And so under the armor, Naaman was dealing with something that nobody else knew about. Verse 9 says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot. I missed a little bit there, but we'll catch up. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha, the man of God. And Elisha, so Naaman, this important man, pulls up out the front of Elisha's house. And Elisha doesn't come out. But Elisha sent a messenger unto him. And so go tell Naaman. Go and tell him to wash in the Jordan 7 times, and then his flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Go, servant, I'm staying here. No need for me to go out to Naaman. I know he's important, but servant, just go tell him, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River, and after the 7th time, he will come out, and his flesh will be clean. But Naaman was wroth. He got angry. The solution was given, but he was wroth, and he went away. And he said, but I thought, everyone say, I thought he would come out to me. Does he realize who I am? A mighty man in valor? I mean, I pulled up out of his house and the man of God didn't even come out to me. All he did is send somebody, tell me, go dip 7 times. He said, I thought he would surely come out to me. And I thought that he would stand and he would do something dramatic like call on the name of the Lord and then strike his hand over the place and I would be recovered. That's what I thought would happen. And by the way, this idea of the Jordan River, he said, I got better ideas. I thought, and he goes, Arnot. Everyone say Arnot. Arnot, Abana, and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. There's not even any good water here in Israel. I could think of better places that I could wash in. Can't I go to Abana or Pharpar? I can go and wash in then and be clean. So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near to him and spoke to him. They said, "My father, hey, Naaman, hey, father, out of respect, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, you would have done it. If he had told you to give him $1 million, you would have done it because you're losing everything. If he would have asked you to do some great thing, you would have done it. Why don't you just go and dip 7 times? It's so simple. Go and dip 7 times and you will be clean." Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Everyone say, he was clean. When he did what God told him to do, he was clean. I want to speak on this title today, the waterway. Everyone say, the waterway. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your word that's going to speak to every heart. Speak to our hearts today. Lord, let us leave this place changed with a fresh understanding of your word. We thank you, Lord, for those who are going to be washed in the waters of baptism today. We give you all the praise and all the glory, and all the church says amen. Amen. The waterway, you may be seated. If you haven't guessed today, in this 11:15 service, I'm going to be speaking about one of my favorite things, and that is baptism. Everyone say baptism. Immersion, baptism, baptizo means to be immersed in water, calling on the only saving name. What is the only saving name? Jesus. Calling on the name of Jesus. And baptism is not about becoming a member of a church or anything. No, baptism is done for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus himself said it. He said, "He that believeth and is shall be." Mark chapter 16, verse 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And so you say, "Well, Pastor, why is baptism such a favorite topic of yours?" Let me tell you why it's so precious to me. Because in the waters of baptism, all things pass away. Behold, all things become new. That's what happens in baptism. When you do it the waterway, you become a new creature, a new creation in Jesus Christ. And so why, Pastor? Why are you emphasizing baptism? Why are you preaching about baptism? Well, this is one good reason. Jesus, it's an ordinance that Jesus set for us. He instituted it for us. And whatever was established and ordained by Jesus himself cannot be unimportant. If Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, "Go into all the world and baptize," well, then it must be important. If Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," then it must be important. If Peter, who had the keys to the kingdom in the first message on the day of Pentecost, if he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins," then it must be important. Everybody say important. So I can't neglect that today, because it is the old becoming new. How many people are thankful for being baptized? Amen? Praise God. And so Jesus and the apostles, they also showed the importance of baptism. Jesus himself was baptized. It says, "For thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." But in the Old Testament, and if you've been around here a little while, you know I like to talk about Old Testament types and shadows. In the Old Testament and in our text today, we see a type of baptism. It's not baptism for remission of sins, but it's a type. In fact, leprosy in the Bible was also a type. It was a type of sin. Leprosy wasn't sin, but it was a type of sin. And there are many things about leprosy that are symbolic of what sin does to our life. And so we see in the Old Testament this type of baptism. No, Naaman never actually undergoes Christian baptism, yet he steps into the waters. He steps into the waters of the Jordan River as told to by God, and we see this cleansing happen to him, and it was a type. Everyone say a type. A type of baptism. Now, Naaman had a problem. I said this before. Every morning he'd get up, he'd put his armor on, he'd walk down the street, and to everybody's eyes, he looked like a great man, a man of honor, an honorable man, a mighty man in valor. Everything, he looked like he had it all together. But all the while, as he was walking down the street, no doubt people would have been saluting him. No doubt he would have walked into places and he would have walked with authority and he would have told them, do this and do that. But all along, there was a stench under the armor. Something just wasn't right. But he was a leper. Naaman had leprosy. He was a mighty man of valor. He had favor with the king of Syria, but he was a leper. Now, names in the Bible are very important. When you begin to study names, then things really begin to open up in the Bible. And the word and the name Naaman means gracious, fair, and pleasant. And I tell you, I don't think living with leprosy was anything like that, gracious, fair, and pleasant. Yes, he was a distinguished man. He had all of the things, but he was a leper. Now, there will come a time in your life, every single one of us, doesn't matter who you are, a mighty woman, a mighty man of valor, whatever you call yourself, there will come a time in your life when stuff and position no longer satisfies. There will come, you can chase the dollar, you can get the car, you can get the house, you can wear the clothes, but there will come a time in your life when you say, you know what, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. There will come a time in your life when all the stuff and all the position and all the power and all the prestige means nothing to you. In fact, why is it that people who have the biggest houses and the biggest cars and the biggest bank accounts, they're still taking their life? Because why? They didn't find any peace in this world. They didn't find what they were looking for. They felt so empty and so hopeless. There will come a time in every single one of our lives where things just won't satisfy. And you know, we do that. People use credit cards, they run them to the max because they think if they just get something else or buy one more thing or go on one more trip or just upgrade the car, upgrade the house. Maybe some people even think if they can even just upgrade their spouse that suddenly they will find the happiness they've been looking for. There'll come a time in your life, and I hope it comes soon, where you realize that stuff and position, material things, just won't satisfy you. Naaman had it all. But there was the main thing that he was missing. He was dying. He was a leper. Under the armor, he had to deal with something. Something was missing. But there was a maid. Everyone say a maid. He had a maid in his house, and of course he had a maid because he was an important sort of guy. And this maid who was there in his house got to see him for who he really was. She served him. No doubt she would have been there helping him take off that armor and helping him put on that armor. And she would have seen everything. She would have seen the man that he really was. Just a maid. She knew of his condition, but she also knew a prophet of God. Let me tell you today, we ought to be thankful for people who brought us to Jesus. We ought to be thankful for those who knew us the way we were, the real us. And they brought us to Jesus. We ought to be thankful for those people. If the person that brought you to Jesus is still alive, send them a note, send them a card, whatever, wherever they are, even if they're backslidden, say, listen, I'm so thankful that you brought me to Jesus. I was lost. I had no peace. I was missing so much. But you didn't know what you did that day. You gave me the greatest treasure on earth. I can gain the whole world, but you gave me my salvation. You brought me to Jesus, and I want to say thank you. And so this maid, she knew of his condition. She knew a prophet. You see, I'm thankful for those who are honest with us. Honest with us about our spiritual condition. Those that can come to us and say, hey, you know, you think you've got it all together. I know you got a nice car. I know you got a nice house. I know you think you've got it all together. But there is leprosy There is sin in your life. When Jesus comes back, you can't take any of that with you. We can put nice things in your coffin, but you can't take that with you. We ought to be thankful for people who love us enough to tell us the truth. Everybody say tough love. And so this maid, she knew him. She knew him well enough. She knew about his leprosy. She knew he had a need, and she knew a man of God. And Naaman has a problem. And here he is, his problem. He finds the solution in a person who he thought was beneath him. He thought that this maid was beneath him. She's just a maid. She's just a servant. Who cares really about her? But she cared about him enough to step out of her comfort zone and say, "Sir, I know, out of respect, I'm just a maid. Who am I to tell you what to do? But I've been seeing you're living with something that you can't cure yourself. You're living with leprosy. I know that you try to cover it up, but I see you when you come home and you got to face the reality of your condition. Sir, I know a man. I know somebody that can help you." And so Naaman goes down. She encouraged him. He finally got the courage to go and see Elisha. And so he goes down with all these chariots and horses and entourage. He pulls up and they go, "What do you want?" He goes, "Well, I'm here to see the man of God, Elisha. I'm here to see him." He would have been standing there proudly. And so somebody runs in the house, and then Elisha doesn't come out. Just another servant comes out. Funny that, isn't it? Funny that it was a maid who told him to go to the man of God. Now he's expecting to go higher because he thinks he's something. But Elisha says, "I don't see a need to get off the couch. Just go tell him, servant, go tell him, dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you will be clean." So he's thinking, "Well, who am I? I'm important. I thought that, you know, something great would happen." And Elisha just says, "This isn't a big deal. I mean, just go dip in the Jordan 7 times, you'll be clean." And so Naaman, from a carnal perspective, he said, "I thought it would be something sensational. At least I thought the man of God would come out and talk to me." Naaman couldn't believe. Are you serious? The answer is to dip in that Jordan River. That muddy water. Everybody say muddy water. "Are you thinking better places? Are not Abana and far for better rivers? The Jordan River's not appealing. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know, it's just muddy water." Let me tell you today, listen to me very carefully. Sometimes there's muddy water between where you are and where God wants to take to you. Sometimes there's muddy water between where you are at right now and what God wants to do in your life. What do you mean by muddy water, Pastor? Things we don't understand, but we just need to be obedient. Things that we don't understand in our human thinking, but we just need to obey God. You're telling me that the way up is the way down, Pastor? Yes. If you would submit to God, you're on your way up. You see, God's kingdom is like an upside down kingdom. You're telling me to humble myself and God will lift me up? You see, there's a lot of muddy water, things we don't understand. And some of you, the thing between where you are now and what God wants to do in your life, you say, it's just muddy water. Everybody say muddy water. And so sometimes there's muddy water between you and what God wants to do in your life. I don't understand. Pastor, surely a more convenient time. No, today is the day of salvation. Some people say, "I'm not ready to humble myself like that. I'm not ready to do that." And Naaman said that. "Are not Abana and Pharpar better rivers? I could go wash in those. I got a better idea." Now, I've been a pastor long enough to hear lots of reasons why people don't want to get baptized. I've heard that. They say, "I don't want to." Say, "I was raised in a tradition." Everyone say, "A tradition." "I was raised in a tradition that doesn't believe in baptism." Well, I'm grateful for your tradition, but just go back a little bit further. Don't stop with your tradition. Go a little bit back a bit further and go back to the Bible and see what the Bible says. See what Jesus says. Your tradition, well, all well and good, but go back a little further, because the Bible trumps tradition every time. The Bible trumps tradition every time. Go back to the Bible and ask a question. How did they do it the traditional way? The Bible way. How did they do it in the first church? I know it's 2023, but I want to go back to the original. I want to know, how did they do it in the first church? And you know what? You'll read that Peter told them to get baptized for the remission of their sins. You'll read in Acts chapter 10, verse 48, that Peter, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, he got so bold that he commanded them to be baptized. That's how they did it, the Bible way. So some people say, I was raised in a tradition that doesn't believe in baptism. Some people say, well, I was baptized as a child or a baby. Are you telling me that I need to be baptized again? Well, there is no such thing as infant baptism in the Bible. There is no such thing. I know your parents had good intentions when they took you to be baptized. They were trying to do the right thing in what they knew, but there is no infant baptism in the Bible. And the reason why is because there are some things that need to happen before you are baptized. Number one, repentance. You have to know what sin is and you have to turn from that sin. And second of all, you need to be able to believe. The Bible said, he that believes and is baptized. There needs to be confession of sins. You see, these are things that a baby can't do. And so if you were baptized as a child, I know that your parents did the right thing. But go back all the way to the Bible and say, you know what? I don't read about baby baptisms in the Bible. I want to get baptized now that I have repented of my sin. Now that I've decided to live for God, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. That's the second thing I hear. The third thing I hear is people say, well, Pastor, I'm going to get baptized, but I need to study more. Everyone say, study more. Well, you can study as much as you want, but you're not going to understand everything. Okay? The moment you see it, the moment you see that baptism is for the remission of sins, and the moment you realize that you're a sinner, then you're a candidate to be baptized. If you've repented of your sins, then you are ready to be baptized. You know, sometimes, don't ask me why, but sometimes we are often insulted by the commands of God. Insulted. What? I'm somebody. Don't you realize, Elisha? I'm a somebody around here. You're going to tell me to go get in that water? There must be a better way to accomplish this. I'm sure I could go look in the Greek and surely I'll find something different. Or let me check the Hebrew. That can't be right. No, just do what God says. Listen to Naaman. I thought, I expected. Why shouldn't I? Why can't I? You see, sometimes there's muddy water between where you are now and what God wants to do in your life. I'm telling you, the only way to get your sins washed away is the waterway. The waterway. Everyone say the waterway. The truth was, Naaman, the truth is, you're a leper. The truth is, there's something under your armor. Others can't see it, but you know. You know what's in your life. Others couldn't see it, but there was a constant stench. You see, it's important to be truthful with ourselves. Don't get so bound up in your own self-righteousness. Be truthful about your spiritual condition. Be truthful about where you stand with God. Naaman had to take the truth. It was spoken by the man of God. He was led to the man of God by a maid. The word was spoken to him by a servant. But Naaman had to take the truth and apply it to the truth of his situation. And so when Naaman heard the truth, he had two choices. And the same choices we still have today. If you've never been baptized, these choices are for you today. Number one, you could ignore it and hope that you can cope with your leprosy, find your own way. Or number two, you could obey the word of God and be cured. Those are those things, those options that Naaman had. The truth was, he was a leper. And leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, everyone say all. I don't know. I don't care how sweet your mum thinks you are. You're still a sinner. Grandma can say whatever she wants about you. My grandma, she didn't think anything. I remember once my mum and dad, they tried to discipline me. My grandma's, leave him, he's a good boy. Grandmas don't see that. But the truth is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can do the greatest things. You can be the most respected person. You can do all of those things. The truth is, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need to repent. It may not make much sense sometimes. What difference could baptism make? Aren't there better rivers? But the waters of the baptism are the only things, only waters that will strip you of your sin. Somebody say amen. And so are you a Naaman today? At the top of your profession, wealth and social standing. Maybe your friends look up to you. Maybe you're admired by your associates. You may even be a noble person, but you sit here today and say, Pastor, under all of that, I know I'm a leper. And so what is God speaking to us about today? Finally, Naaman is convicted by God's word. The man of God spoke to him. And they came and they said to him in 2 Kings 5:13, and his servants came near and said unto him, they begged him, Naaman, why are you, the solution is here, what are you doing? He said, Naaman, my father, if the prophet had asked you to do some great thing, you would have done it. You would have done it. All he's saying is to swallow your pride, do something you don't even understand. Go down into the water and just be obedient. Go and wash and be clean. Many people are just like Naaman. First, they go to their own thinking. They go to religion. They think, well, surely it has to be something more grandiose and spectacular. Many people are insulted that the absolute truth of God's word is that you must be baptized. You must be baptized. Many people are like Naaman. They try to come up with their own ideas. I can think about Abana and Pharpar. Aren't they better rivers? I got a better way. I think I know more. But in the end, he had two choices. He could ignore it and hope to cope with his leprosy and eventually he was going to die. Or number two, he could obey the word of God and be cured. The absolute message of salvation is summarized so perfectly in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. Why is this such a great portion of scripture when it comes to salvation? Because number one, Jesus said, I've given the keys to the kingdom to Peter. Read about it in Matthew. You read that there. Jesus also said that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. So we have the guy with the keys to the kingdom. We are in Jerusalem. We have repentance and remission of sins being preached. Peter, the man with the keys, stands up on the first day of the New Testament church. It's a great scripture. Why? Because there's a question. What must we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There it is. That's why I love that scripture so much, because you've got a classic example of a question and an answer. And it just happened to be Peter was speaking the same thing that Jesus had already spoken to Nicodemus about. In John 3, verse 1 to 5, if the musicians could come, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And then Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus didn't understand it completely. Born again? Really? Okay, Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? You're saying that he can go enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born again? Jesus answered again. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that is speaking just what Peter said, to be baptized, dipped in the water, born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Everybody say born again. It will change your life so much. When you're born again, it will change your life so much. It's not just turning over a new leaf. Some people come and say, oh, Pastor, I'm just going to turn over a new leaf. No, when you're born again, you don't turn over a new leaf. It's a completely new leaf. God gives you a new leaf. It's not the same leaf on the other side. No, born again, it's a completely new leaf. The old things are passed away. It's all gone. All things become new. You see, you got to understand that thing about being born again. You're a child of God. And I was talking to one of the guys in our church just during the week, and he said this to me. He goes, Pastor, God has no grandchildren. Everyone say, God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren, only children. Because when you're born into the kingdom, you become a child of God. And that's why you got to understand that, because a lot of people, they get very scared of what some people would call generational curses, and that, you know, somehow even as a born again believer, that the things that my ancestors did a long time ago, that I can be cursed because of them. Well, let me tell you this, at the cross in Galatians, the Bible says Jesus became a curse for us. He became the curse for us. And when we are born again, you're born of God, born of God. So if you are born of God, not by will of man or will of the flesh, but you are born of God, then you are a child of God. And that you may have a physical heritage, but now that God has no grandchildren, only children. And so when I look up my line, my family line, all I see is blessing. All I see is goodness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You see, that's the blessing of being born again. I'm a child of God. I change family trees. Yes, there are generational consequences. The things our parents did, yeah, maybe that means their crazy riotous living meant that we were raised in a bit of a crazy house. All of those things, they're situational. But when it comes to the spiritual, you are a child of God. You are blessed. You are highly favored of God. He loves you. He will bless you. He will protect you. This is the promise we have as children of God. Let's all stand. I'm not talking about turning over a leaf. I'm talking about a completely new leaf to be born again. The old is gone. Behold, all things I become new. And it all happens. How does it happen? The waterway. Everybody say the waterway. It happens the waterway. Naaman, you want a cure for your leprosy? Let me tell you, Naaman, it says that's going to happen. It's only happened the waterway. To go and dip in that water. And in the New Testament, it was the same thing for our sin. To go and be baptized in Jesus' name. And so the end of the story is this. 2 Kings 5:14, then he went down. Everyone say, he went down. And he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Everyone say, clean. New things. All the old things are passed away. All things become new. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17, I just quoted it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. See, what you got to understand is that Romans says that we are baptized into Christ. How do you get in Christ? It happens through baptism. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things. Everyone say all things. All things become new. There is a newness when we do it the waterway. I know we're going to celebrate 2 baptisms today, but maybe there's somebody here today that God's been challenging you also, that you haven't done it the waterway. You're living for God, but maybe you're just like, well, I don't understand this whole water thing. Getting in the water, you know. I mean, look at that tank down there. Do I have to do it in front of people? You think of many excuses. Oh, my tradition. What will my parents think? They baptized me as a baby. I don't want to offend them. No, of course we don't want to offend our parents. But we do want to do it the Bible way. We want to do it the Bible way. And the Bible way is the water way. Baptism still makes us new. Baptism still washes away our sins. Are you thankful for that today? Nothing like being baptized in Jesus' name. I remember I was only young, but I remember coming up out of those waters, felt like a load had been lifted off my shoulders. I baptized so many people. I get them up out of the water. I pray for them. They turn to me and say, Pastor, it feels like the weight of the world has come off my shoulders. Let me tell you why. Because you were carrying the weight of sin for so long, and Jesus just lifted it off you. I'm talking about new beginnings. New beginnings, the dawning of a new day when you're baptized in Jesus' name. Let's just lift our hands right now. We're going to sing a song in a moment. I'll go get ready to go baptize these people. We'll get ready to all gather around the tank together and be a witness. But Lord Jesus, thank you for speaking to us through your word. Lord, what is under our armor, Lord God? Lord, you know. We may be able to hide it from others, even somewhat kind of fool ourselves as well. But Lord, you know exactly where we're at. Lord God, I pray that somebody under the sound of my voice, either in this place or online, maybe even just watching this video randomly out of the archives, Lord Jesus, Lord, that they would come to the knowledge and the importance of being baptized in your name for the washing away of their sins, to do it the water way. Lord, for even you said, Jesus, yourself, we must be born of water and of spirit if we want to see the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, today is a day of salvation. I pray that you would press on somebody's heart. In spite of the muddy water, in spite of the excuses and maybe even the things we don't understand, Lord, you gave us an ordinance. You gave us a directive. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You set the example yourself, oh God. Lord, as Jesus, you went into those waters, were baptized yourself. Lord, you told us to go into all the world and baptize. Lord, so people can be saved. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus.